Oh my God, minister, Lord, to the inner man, that we may know you in the power of your resurrection. Oh my God, right now, bless us in all of these things. And we pray that you touch my body this morning, that I might minister the word, God, and then bless these little clay and bless us in this hour. We give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. May be seated. And so we move forward in our exposition. Take out your document. Those that are listening and watching, document is found in our audio or videos link sections, icon there, and you click it and this document comes up in its entirety. Repeat after me, scripture comprehensions and measures.
Scripture comprehensions and measures.
The majors. Let's turn to the break, page 29. Gavin is our designated reader this morning. We into the sector of Romans 8, 5, 6, and 7. And of course, I want to go directly this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 19, where we were a few outings ago. Remember, we got hung up there and we didn't get out of that 19th verse. Amen. Oh my God, hallelujah. God's word is so magnificent.
Oh, yes.
The benefits which cannot be explicated in human jargon. The essence of life and what it is. That is beyond things that we daily resonate with. Even our thoughts, they are limited. When we focus chiefly on things that are around us, when we become practitioners in processes, when we major in the scene,
yes,
while we ignore the unseen. Mm-hmm. Because, as the scripture teaches us, the thing that is seen is temporary.
Yes. Amen.
Physicality is temporary. The thing that is unseen is eternal. Spirituality. And as we were conveying the other night in the Bible study, as we were going through just portions of that eighth chapter of Romans, where Paul in his discourse draws a distinct line of demarcation between the spiritual and the physical. Are the real and the unreal. Our problem is most of God's people do not know what spirituality is. What is spiritual? Spirituality is not a feeling. Spiritual is not something you feel. Spirituality is not a vision. It's not an illusion. essence, and I use this word godly, but it is the sphere of where things actually are. It is the abiding essence of things in their being. Everything abides in eternality are the essence of the unseen spiritual that exists exclusively through God having spoken it and said it. That's how a thing exists. And other than God speaking it and saying it, there's no way for it to exist. Now we get that mixed up with manifestations. And this is why in the fall we're going to go back. I'm going to complete the other half of that volume 2. We're going to call it parts 5 through 10, where we'll be dealing with scripture distinctions of actualization where? In eternity, by God's decree. What? In eternity. As it is distinguished of what? Manifestations in time. The thing that you see is not the realness of it. It is the reflector. Like looking in the mirror. What you see in the mirror is not real. It is a reflection of what. I'm just using that very crude example. As I stated before, none of us have ever seen our face. Not your own face. You look in the mirror and you see a reflection of it. Now, I've seen your face and you've seen mine, but neither one of us, you've never seen your back. So, well, I look in the mirror and that's the reflection in the mirror. This is the difference between what life is and what life isn't. The real deal is what God has spoken concerning every creature, every being, every object, every occurrence and event, amen. And the only thing that we view is the reflection, and this is what we call life, which is in the matrix. Understand that what you're looking at is going to wear you out. This is why men of God's people are basket cases, because what we're looking at is killing us. And yet the scripture that we just spoke concerning said we are not looking at the scene. But the unseen. The seen, that's the reflectors. The reflectors that are geared into depictions and visions. That which physically capture us so much in processes until we have no adherence or knowledge or resonation with God's purpose. Whatever it is, God has a purpose for it. That's the only reason it's there. Not in the sexual. Again, repeat after me. Conceited scenarios and physicality, secularity measures. The matrix. Again, conceded, that which is exaggerated. And appearances, scenarios, that's imagined projections of sequences and events. So what we are saying is basically things that are set before us as though they are within themselves. And they're not. They're not. They're not. Life is more than what you visibly observe. Know that when we, from Colossians 1:16, all things were created what?
In him,
what?
Through him. And for him.
Let's do that again. In him, what?
Through him.
For him. Where does it say the thing about you or me?
No way.
Or anyone else?
No. Glory to God. Thank God.
Your life is about Christ.
Christ. Amen. Christ.
Not about you.
Amen.
Let's go to that passage there we were dealing with a few outings ago, a couple outings ago. Let's everyone turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Brother Deacon, let's start at verse 18 and 19. And oh my God. Let's read that through 21. Everybody got 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, say amen. Right? Read it.
We're reading from the book of 1 Corinthians, the third chapter, beginning verse 18.
Mm-hmm.
Let no man deceive him.
we'll straighten that out when we get to the... You know, when we were dealing Thursday night, Wednesday, Bible, we were dealing with those... Did you get my email?
Yeah.
Those translations. Bad translation can be dangerous. It can be dangerous.
Mm-hmm. So true. Yeah.
Why do we go through our methodology of exegesis?
Mm-hmm.
Because before we can even begin to explain or explicate, we must first get to the bottom of what it's actually saying. Wrong utterance, automatically wrong explanation. All right, read
from the King James, verse 18. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool.
Let's go straight to the Greek on that. I don't want that to linger too long.
Now 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, interlineal Greek text.
Mm-hmm.
No one himself deceived.
See, he had let deceive there. Now, let's stop there a minute. Here that Greek word is ezapatato. That syllable is on the fourth. It's on the fourth syllable, the accent there. As a batato. What is that, Brother Deacon? You got you. Get your Greek lexicon. Now. I'm not going to be intimidated.
Amen.
Sit here and tell you something wrong, and you go out of here, and it messes you all the way up. No. We want to know exactly what the Word of God is conveying to us.
Yes. Exactly.
What is that word?
Present imperative.
Imperative. You can't put let there. Present imperative what? Okay, he's talking here concerning manifestation and testimony.
Amen.
Basically. What is before you? Now, that is modified further down in this verse. Well, Deacon, read.
If anyone thinks wise.
Think you smart, wise. And we were dealing with that this morning, came in the youth class. We're so smart. Yet we are so dumb. And he come up with the Higgs boson, the God particle. Yet, you ask the scientist what that is, and if he's honest, what he's going to say? What he's going to say? I don't know. I know is nothing. Because here they're saying God particle, there is a particle that they have substituted for what God does. Or that God does it through a particle. And they say all substance come into being through the God particle. What did we just get through reading in referencing in Colossians? Let's do that again. In him, what? Let's do it again. In him, but through him, for him. So how do we get a particle in there? And they even got diagrams and stuff. So the one who thinks he's wise, what brother did you?
Wise to be among you. In age this, or in this age, foolish him become.
That's right. Now,
in order
what?
In order that he may become wise.
All right, now let's diagram this. Okay? The first word we have there in the Greek is yonesso. That is, come, and actually the phrase is, Yonesso moros. What is that, Brother Deacon? That is an imperative what?
Imperative present.
Look at that again.
Use present.
Morose. And that him must have become foolish.
Aris imperative.
I'm looking at the ending.
Aris imperative. Middle voice. Middle passive voice. Aris imperative.
That's an Aris imperative. What's the imperative mood?
Command.
What's the Aris tips? So you have a completed command, which has to go all the way back to what?
The decree.
Eternity, the decree. Which speaks of the difference between the fellow that God causes to receive this comprehension versus the one that doesn't. You know, when Mr. Stephen Hawking wrote the book and said there must not be a God, and he think he had some proof. A lot of people got upset. I said, "Don't get upset with that. What does the Bible say about him? That kind of thinking? What kind of person has said the fool? No, no, no. If the scripture said we can see it. So, well, he's a genius. Well, he's a fool. I'm going to get upset because of what someone says in denouncing the essence of what God has said. Not going to waste 2 minutes. No. Now hear what has been previously assigned in knowledge and understanding. In rejecting that is for purpose. Enoch. In all of that what?
He may have become wise.
Thank you. Because that is a what?
Aorist subjunctive passive.
That is a subjunctive aorist. What's subjunctive mood?
Probability.
Probability. Mm-hmm. How are you going to get a complete probability? No, follow us now. God previously assigned this so that you won't be deceived.
That's right.
The thing that you know, the thing that you believe, the thing that you understand, God assigned that to you. You're not smarter than the other fellow.
Nope.
That's what this is telling you.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm? So that you may be having become wise. I am to know. Because none of us can understand anything except God reveals it to us.
Amen.
Natural man doesn't understand the things of spirituality, which are the things of God. Which are the essence of what things are. Why? Because they are spiritually understood. You can't define physicality with physicality. And you sure can't define spirituality with physicality.
Amen.
But you can define physicality with spirituality. And of course, Paul tells us that it goes what? Comparing what? Spiritual with spiritual. So we don't even leave the sphere of God's saying because we know that's where everything resides. Everything resides in Him. I mean, it's like we read this and it's like, it just goes right by. In Him. Not what I see. What He's saying. Let's go to 19, Brother Deacon. Go back to the King James, because we have, there are those that only have the King James, so we have to correlate the two as we proceed here. Go ahead.
Verse 19 of 1 Corinthians chapter 3. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness.
Didn't Job say that?
Job 5:13.
Didn't Job say that? He was called to say it through Revelation. Let's go to the Greek. And you know what? This is why we dealt with that in Bible study. For those that are watching, it may be slow and may be meticulous. But no use going down the road with wrong information. Wrong information, wrong thoughts, wrong perceptions. Wrong results. This is why men of God's people, we live below the radar of eternality and peace and joy. Because we're trying to look around and see our way through. The more you look, the more confused you get. The more confused you get, the more fearful you are.
Amen.
Everything is disconcerted. Everything is one big question mark. Everything scares you to death, and just you there's no stability. Because I'm afraid of everything that's out there. Because I don't feel any security and confidence. Well, that comes with understanding. And this is the purpose, the main purpose for God's people coming together and assembling. It's to learn. Yes, yeah, we sing and we thank God for the beautiful music and we sing the song. But even the song, amen, is communication and testimony. It's just not harmony for the sake of harmony. It's harmony for the sake of augmenting a message.
Yes, Lord. Amen.
This message.
Yes.
These things.
Yes. That's right.
Verse 19 in the Greek.
For the wisdom world of this, or of this world, folly...
Stop. Morphia. Morphia, rather. Morphia. Folly. Foolishness. Mm-hmm. Nonsense.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which is the opposite of what? Sophia.
Yeah.
Sophia is what? Morphia is what? Nonsense. Now, either this is true or we just rip these pages right out of the book.
Amen. Amen.
Go out there and be like everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Let the things around you run you nuts.
Mm-hmm.
But this is true. This is truth.
Mm-hmm.
We have, though, this knowledge is given for us to have an advantage.
Yes. Yes.
Over the unlearned.
Yes. Yes.
Given, give you the peace that what? Passes
all
human understanding and comprehension. Peace that abides beyond the terrain turbulences of what we call time.
Yes, Jesus.
And life is glorious.
Mm-hmm.
Life is magnificent.
Mm-hmm.
Life is great.
Great.
Life is beautiful.
Yeah.
Once you understand what it is.
It is.
What is your life?
Christ.
Not the temporariness of these things purposed for contrast. And that's the difference between actualization and manifestation. That's the difference between spiritual and physical. That's the difference between eternal and those things that are temporal. We must understand that.
Yes, Lord.
This is what this is trying to teach us, and this is why I'm taking my time. I'm not. It's no use to go on to page two until you get what? Page one down straight. And this is about life. This is serious stuff we're talking about here this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's something out there just waiting to ruin your day. Spirit of God is coming to tell you, to teach you, to inform you,
yes, sir,
that he who is in you,
he's
greater.
Great.
Than all of that stuff. Finish it up, Brother Deacon.
For the wisdom of this world, folly with God is.
Mm-hmm.
For it has been written,
uh-huh,
the grasping the wise in the craftiness of them.
Yeah, God, he basically makes a show of them. Just how foolish they are. Another place says he confounds the wise. Because you set this thing up on an algorithm. Alright, by the stock is an algorithm. That's basically where it's a mathematical statement that quantitate in formulas. In other words, this is how this works. A plus Z divided by 2 is equal to this. So here we have the steps and we have the processes of this is how it works. And then God comes along and he vetoes that in many cases.
Yes, Lord.
E doesn't have to equal MC square. Right?
That's right.
No. No.
True.
No. I think my Old Testament, God told Israel one time, he said, dig the ditches. And they looked up in the sky and said, look, they needed water. And he said, dig the ditches to hold the water. Yo, the Old Testament story. We grew up in there. And they looked and said, Lord, that it's not cloudy. There's no clouds in the sky.
None.
The Lord said, I didn't tell you to think about the clouds. I said, I don't need the clouds in order to fill the ditches with water. Y'all don't hear me this morning.
Hallelujah.
It is not through the processes, it's through my purpose. That things occur. Verse 20. Do 20 and 21 in the King James, and then let's go to the Greek. And then, amen. I see that clock is beating me up. You know, but you know, we can't rush through this. I'm not going to do it. Nope, not going to do it. If we get through one paragraph for Sunday, that's where we are. Read.
Now, 1 Corinthians 3:20 from the King James Version. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain.
Mm-hmm.
21. Therefore,
again, let.
Let no man.
Let me just stop and say this to me. If you had the software, the Bibleware software, and you were to take the cursor and you would place it on that word let, you know what comes up? Nothing. The translators have always got to have this thing as though you're in control. Let means to allow, in the old archaic English, it meant to restrain or hinder. But either way, it gives an inference that that you're in control. And then the passive voice just destroys all of that. How are you going to be letting something and it's in the passive voice? The passive voice is that which is acts upon the subject. And if you are the subject, then it's happening to you. So it can't be something about you either allowing something or hindering something. Read, Brother Deacon.
Verse 21 again, therefore, from the King James, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours.
Now, and before they take that thing, let me look at the context there. Some translations say, all things are yours to desire, and they're talking about physical things. He's not talking about physicality. Look at the context. Because we want to be physical. We want things we can... And that's the way these Corinthians were. They were a physical people. They were moved more by what they saw than what God said. And I tell you this morning, if what you see is different from what God said, discount what you see.
Amen.
Not what God has said.
Amen.
Let's go to the Greek.
Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21, interlinear Greek text.
Mm-hmm.
And again.
So he repeats something he's already said for emphasis. Read.
Lord knows the reasonings of the wise,
mm-hmm.
that they are
the assessment
vain.
Of the wise. They are what?
Vain.
Ma. T. Ma. That is ma. T. Empty. Mm-hmm. You know, the Old Testament basically tells us not to lean to what?
I don't understand.
Now, here's the scripture telling me not to lean to my understanding. And then, because I see it as real to me, I will lean to my own understanding. What is God telling us? You haven't a clue what it is unless I reveal to you what it is. Acknowledge Him in all, this Old Testament, acknowledge Him in all your ways and what?
He shall direct
your past, your thinking. And I always say, you mean God gave me a mind, I can think for myself. Let God do your thinking.
Hallelujah.
If you're going to get the right thoughts, God must do our thinking. No, I cannot think for myself. God help me not to think for myself. And the man, corroborated, James said, and the man like with what?
May the master of the Lord give
ask
the man
liberally. Ask of God. Mm-hmm. Because it's not here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Amen.
This is why scientism is all messed up. And you know what? We leave it up to them. They're the custodians of truth and knowledge. Whatever they say. And here is right here. And the answers are right here. Been here. But they're not physical. They're spiritual. They're not seen. They're unseen. They're not in what is humanly visualized. But they are what God has verbalized. Finish it up, Brother Deacon.
Again, verse 21. So as no one boasts in men.
Did he put that in there as a let? What is that, Brother Deacon? That.
Again.
It's imperative. Present, but what? But basically, it is that which is fed to you. Mm-hmm. That which impressed to you.
Sure.
Yes. Let's go to our document. Oh, that clock just runs away with me every time. Let's go to the middle of page 29. Where it starts with physicality. You see that? Beginning of... Everyone, Everybody got it? Amen. Those that are following us. Physicality genres. That is, their types, their kind, their categories, are collectively perceived chronologically because intuitions of substances are familiarly assumed in such mediums. What are we saying there, basically? How that thing is laid out and looks, and it conveys itself as real. To us, we resonate in physicality. But that's not what things abide. You notice in that 11th chapter of Hebrews, the focus there is faith. It says, faith is substance. In other words, you don't perceive things. And when we speak of substance, we looked up that word this morning. I was dealing with the youth. It's the realness or the essence of a thing. You don't get to the realness or the essence of a thing without faith, because faith is the communicative entity that grasps things that are spiritual. And if you grasp it physically, you haven't gotten the essence of it, because you're not looking at the essence. You're looking at some form of reflection, and depending upon what angle you're looking at, what you think you see is what not might not be what it is. Be like the man that looked and he said, I see men as trees. And then he looked again and he saw men as men, but men were always men. But you know, we never trust what we see. We always trust the word of God. Because all you're going to get is intuitions of substances, not substances themselves. The way you draw on substance is faith. Faith takes you into where things are. And that is in the spiritual realm.
Yes, right.
Versus where things are reflected, which are in the physical realm. Give me about 10 minutes. I'm going to just bail out this morning. Oh my God, hallelujah. If I come back to this, we just come back. Amen. These assertions, are you with me? Stem from misunderstanding of scripture existent significances and disavow substances not existing within them but in materiality. And what are we saying there? Prima facie we look at things according to their material conversions. I see it. This is a book because I'm touching it, and it feels like a book, and why this is a book? Because God said it. When I touch this book and look at it, these are all reflectors. Such as life is concerned. That thing is wearing you out. You know why? Because as this says here, you disavow substances that things don't exist within themselves. Nothing exists within itself. Let's get away from processes to purpose. Everybody said purpose. purpose describes what something is. That bad situation that happened to you, amen, it must be looked at in the light of its purpose, not within the process of itself.
Amen.
The experience as it is unfolding before our eyes doesn't control. It is the purpose for which God has designed the experience. That's what it is. It is what God has purposed of it. This is what we're trying to convey here. Follow this. In the so designated special relativity, here's a term, and we'll go into in the fall, we're dealing with several aspects of relativity. What are they? Everybody listen up. What are they? The essence of where the multipole is. The essence of where the multipole is. We use ourselves as the multipole. All of our thoughts, our assessments, revolve around how things look from the vantage point of where we are. We're down in time and we're looking around and we're using the pivotal vantage point of where we are to assess where things are. And that's the wrong way to look at things. Many times we call blessings curses. And curses blessings. Because of the vantage point of where we were assessing it from. No. We're not the mental pole. So everything is relative to God being the mental, being the pivotal point or the vantage point rather than ourselves. When we view things and look at things and assess things relative to us, it is always off the chart, off base. Wrong. In the so-designated special relativity, the term invariant mass that which is constant, and they use that term ill-advisedly. It signifies what is equivalent to substance accumulations. I throw this in and that in, and as things come together, I'm saying, well, this is it, and that's, and somebody making it so forth. And that's not the way it is. The purpose was there long before the process even started.
Oh, praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Long before you ever saw that thing, it was there because God had placed it there for His purpose. And you're looking at a process, and you are basically, in your mind, assessing it according to your purpose. You know, when Joseph said to his brother, he said, you mean that's evil. Your purpose was evil. God's purpose was good. So in our, from our vantage point, sometimes the good looks bad, and the bad looks good. Y'all better hear me this morning.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Thank God. Yes.
You better learn to lay down at night and close your eyes and go to sleep.
Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Mm-hmm.
worrying about a thing has never changed it.
Yeah.
Oh my God, God help us. All of us. Me included, everybody. You say God's got it, then why are you still struggling with it? What can your struggling do above the fact that he's got it? And if he's got it, it's according to his purpose. Now, I had someone that said to me one time, and of course I had to basically respond and deal with them. They say, you know, I thought I could get God to change his mind. You what? Whatever that thing is that's in purpose, it has been there from eternity. What about the part that says he's immutable? Which means what?
Unchanged.
Oh, God help us. But you see, I don't really trust God with that because, I mean, we don't dare say that. But in the back of our minds, you know, that's just, you know, I don't know, but he's, you know, I'm a little worried about what God has got planned here. I'm a little worried about what God's planned here. No. Either that or we distance God from it. So we see God has nothing to do with that. Man, we're in trouble if there's anything that God doesn't have anything to do with. You're in big trouble. All right, let's try to finish that up. That is this paragraph. So invariant mass signifies what is equivalent to substance accumulations. The difference being, follow this, that substances are used to describe properties of several concepts other than mass. Can you bend the thought or reverse the thought? Neither can you with mass. Lord, help us to understand how frail we are. Scripture comprehensions. Everybody says scripture comprehensions. Deny that substances amount to everything existing in another, which in turn disallows that nothing exists other than in physicality, secularity measures the matrix. So here scripture comprehension is telling us it's not about that. It's not about processes or how things are seemingly working. We should never say, what is this? What should we say? What is this for? What is God doing with it? Not, Lord, what am I going to do with this? Actually, the thing is, Lord, what are you doing with this? Amen. If you desire, and if you don't tell me, I still trust you. Oh, my God.
Yes. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
What did Job say? He said, though it seems like he's killing me, he said, I'm still going to trust him. That's a tough one, isn't it? Sometimes life seems to be beating us up. Everywhere we turn, everything is messed up. Nothing is messed up. You can fool me. No. Eternally, nothing is messed up. Whatever you're dealing with, it comes, but then what happens? It's gone. It passes. Because everything in life is what? Temporary. You get to eternality and you have the permanency of things that are there and will never change is all complete. And it's all glorified. And so whatever it is, relax. Lay down. Give God some praise. Go to sleep.
Thank God. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Finally here, assumptions that things in fact exist in substances declare that when such alliances nest in either an infinite, listen, it is non-ending, a circular approach. And most of us, if we think of physicality, if we even think about things in an infinite stream, we're still thinking of them in terms of the circular approach, because here's the beginning and here's the end, and it's the same point. That's why we don't think that thing will ever be resolved. Because where you started from is not the answer. But that's where you started from. Both these options, that is, infinite and circular, they are definitively implausible. Not practical, not real. Because the former, that is the infinite stream, is in perpetuity, that is continuous, inconceivable. You know, like if you take the formula and you put zero in the denominator, zero divided into anything is what? What? Zero times something is what? Zero divided by, something divided by zero is what? Infinitive. So you never get to the answer. While the latter, that is the circle approach, going from point one, making that circle and coming back, you have not gone to point two, you're back to the same where you started from. The latter is infinitely, divisibly deprived of what? Assurance formations. In other words, it doesn't give you the desired end. Now, we're going to close for the day. And I want to say to you, as long as you are on this earth and you're in your bodies, things are going to transpire. Things are going to happen. You're going to have challenges. And things are not going to go your way.
Hallelujah.
In fact, many times, whatever you're wishing for is going to go the opposite way. Mm-hmm. But that's the characteristic of testimony. Mm-hmm. The essence of life is to look to Him mm-hmm. who is the author and the finisher of your faith. That whatever He has worked out, that's the best end. Even if it doesn't look that way or feel that way, that's the best thing that could have happened, is whatever God has decreed. And then you'll be able to sing the song like the saints sing the song sometimes. Look and live.
Look and live.
Look and live. My brother, live. Recorded. In His Word. once you get that information down, that's where the hallelujahs and the praise come. Mm-hmm. Can you say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Look and live. Look and live. Mm-hmm. If you call it His word, hallelujah. Look to Jesus, hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Can you say hallelujah? Hallelujah. 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 Oh my God, look and live.
Glory. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Mm.